Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files and listen on your phone or personal computer. And when you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening. Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created WebSeed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery, and our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com. Hi, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. In uncertain times, you need gear you can count on. That's why I teamed up with Daniel Vitalis to launch SupplySource.com. It's a new online retailer offering extremely durable gear for emergency preparedness and long-term survival. Everything we offer survives my daily use test on a ranch in Texas, plus Daniel's outdoor endurance test in the rugged wilderness of Maine. Most of the stuff we test ends up in a pile of trash because it breaks. The stuff that doesn't break, we stock it on SupplySource.com. To get the site started, we've launched it with a line of rugged, reliable, waterproof LED flashlights, now chosen by military and law enforcement everywhere. And we'll soon be adding a whole new brand of emergency water filters, family defense gear, and urban survival tools. When you want your gear to really work, get it from SupplySource.com.
Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Survival and Beyond. And I'm your host, Ed Corcoran, hollering at you atop this crazy mountain in northern New Hampshire. I'm here to help you learn how to survive and hopefully free some minds while we're at it. So it's been a good week here. Been a good week for old Ed. Got some things going, and radio show is really getting popular. I'm getting a lot of great feedback and comments from folks about it, and I'm glad y'all enjoy it. It's certainly my pleasure to do it, to bring you this information, and to kind of help people out and give back. And so, and a lot of good comments about my website too. If you haven't seen my new website, I built it with my own two hands. And it's at survivalandbeyond.net. And yeah, go and check it out. I'm always adding stuff to it. We get downloads and videos and all kinds of cool stuff and news and information and stuff you're not going to get from the mainstream media, that's for sure. So yeah, survivalandbeyond.net. I'm pretty proud of it, if I do say so myself. And I've gotten a lot of props from folks who really like the look and everything, and they like the content, and they like They like everything about it, I guess. So that's pretty gratifying. I think it turned out pretty darn swell. So anyway, some other things that have been going on. I've been contacted by, I'm contacted frequently by TV production companies that want me to do some kind of TV show. And usually, I mean, this started, oh gosh, about a year ago. Started getting calls from TV production companies, and their premise was always the same. It was always like the Doomsday Prepper template. You know, there's a lot of copycat in television, and so the whole thing is like, oh, come and film your preps, and we'll have our expert come in and evaluate and blah blah blah. And everything. And I always turned them down. I would always say, look, I really don't want, it's not good for operational security to have a TV crew come in and just, like, paint a target on you. And they would be like, oh, we're not going to show, you know, where you live, or we'll shoot it in such a way that people won't know, blah, 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 whatever. I've gone on this rant before. I'm not going to go down this road again because that would be redundant. To make a long story short, you know, it's like I've turned these folks down and some of them have come back to me and said, yeah, we're having a real hard time. We can't book anybody to be on our show. And I said, yeah, you see, I told you, you know, it's like people don't want to give up their privacy or their security, you know, because other people who live around them, people live in their communities and their towns and whatnot, they're going to know who they are. And those are the people who are going to be coming. They're the ones who are going to get there first, banging on the door looking for food when the crap goes down. So anyway, I've been contacted by this recently by this production company to do a show, and I told them the same rhetoric. The whole thing is like, look, if you're going to come in, you think you're going to come in and film my preps and make a mockery out of me like Doomsday Preppers, you know, it's like we'll end this conversation right now. And they were like, oh, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to have a different premise and everything. And so it looks pretty promising. I spoke with them earlier today, and they're going to come out here and shoot some sizzle reel, I guess, as they call it in the industry. I told them that's part of our deal. It's like, you know, it's like, no, you don't, I'm not going to show you my preps. I'm not going to, you know, give you a tour of my food storage. I'm not going to show you all the gadgets and gizmos and tools and whatnot, you know, and all the other survival gear, you know. It's like you want me to come on as an expert, and then I'll come on as an expert, which I hate that title. I hate the title of expert, and most of us do in the survivalist field or industry, if you want to call it that, because, you know, we're always learning, and, you know, it's like nobody can know everything about everything. And I'm constantly learning. Every day I learn something new, and I think that's great. That's the way it should be. You should be learning something new every day. You should, if you're not complacent, if you got your eyes open, then, you know, that's what life is all about. So you know, and I'll never know everything. So anyway, getting off on a tangent there. They said, yeah, you know, we'll have you come in, we'll interview you and everything. And their take on it is. They want, this is what's amusing about it. Their show is they're going to have certain people who are experts, I guess, in survival and preparedness. And, you know, and of course they want you to have some kind of, you know, what your primary concern is. And I told them, like, you're not going to pigeonhole me like Doomsday Preppers and make it look like I'm just obsessed over this one thing, and I gave her the whole speech about how everything is interconnected and it's a delicate web our infrastructure is and everything like that. And I said, you really need to, you know, so I went on one of my tangents, basically one of the famous Ed Corcoran tangents I with this poor lady, very nice lady, very, very energetic and, you know, and very positive and, she got a good vibe and everything. And so, you know, and she's got that going for her, and that's cool. I dig it. And so I kind of, like, you know, gave her the impression, like, well, I'm not going to talk about anything specifically. And because she was like, oh, this is a preliminary conversation. And she was like, oh, well, I guess, you know, what, the economy? I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. I'll talk about the economy. And then after I got off the phone, I started thinking about it. And I started thinking, well, yeah, I was kind of vague. Maybe, Maybe I should take a bold step. And I the second time I talked to her, I didn't call her back. But the next time she called me back, I said, "Hey, listen, if you want to put a label on me as far as what my deal is and what my big concern is about survival and the stability of our infrastructure, everything like that, it's like, just go ahead and label me a new world order researcher or conspiracist or whatever you want to call me." You know, like, I'm just going to go right out and I'm going to lay it on the table right there. It's like, okay, it's the new world order. You want me to spell it out for you? There you go. NWO. That's what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about the erosion of liberty in this country and the forcible removal of rights that cannot be removed, you know? And that's why I'm out here doing this. And I swear, you know, like, I was thinking about it earlier today. It's like, when they see me go off on my tangents and they go off, I go off on my rants and everything like that, it's like, they're probably not going to be liking, like, maybe more than half of the stuff that I'm going to have to say. Because I can see how, like, oh, God forbid if I ever went off on the pharmaceutical industry. It's like, well, that's not good for their sponsors, for their advertisers. They can kiss all that Zoloft and Wellbutrin money goodbye, all that Prozac money goodbye. So that's probably going to end up on the cutting room floor if I go off on anything involving any kind of possible advertisers and sponsors and whatnot. But yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it, man. If they're gonna let me go on there and try to open some minds and try to, like, you know, wake some people up about the real new world order. And I made it very clear that I don't, you know, I don't deal in theories. When I speak out about something, that means that I've done the research. I can point to the evidence. It's there in black and white. I can direct you to the United Nations website, for crying out sakes, where you can find this information. You can verify it. You can validate it. I'm not going to go off on, like, you know, lizard people and in the White House or anything like that. And so, yeah, she was pretty jazzed about that. So it's like, all right, now I got my hook. I got my hook. I'm the New World Order guy. and it's probably going to be, a lot of fun. But they also want to film me. I'm going to be demonstrating some survival skills and whatnot as well. So, you know, it's a win-win as far as I'm concerned, depending on, again, how they choose to edit and, you know, what they decide to cut out and what they decide to leave in. But I'll do my level best. I will do my level best to get the truth out there, to be heard on some kind of major network. I think it's A&E, or I think she probably said the History Channel, or they're all affiliated. You know that. You folks know that if you're listening to my show, if you've been listening to my show, you know that all of the major corporate media is all connected. It's all owned by, you know, a handful of companies. Most of the time they say it's six and some say it's eight, but whatever it is, it's like the media is controlled. The mainstream media is controlled anyway. Not this media. This is your what you would call your alternative media, I guess. I don't know if it's alternative. It's just the plain truth. Oh boy, I don't even know where to start. What is coming clearer and clearer to me every day is the fact that we are being systematically poisoned. We're being systematically poisoned. And it's, what I mean is, it, what's becoming clearer is the fact, it's becoming more clear that it's deliberate. This is, I mean, it seems like not a week goes by you don't hear about something. You don't hear something about, you know, GMOs and or Monsanto or, you know, whatnot. And I really got to get up and I got to stand up and holler about this stuff. This is at the very core of our survival, folks. This is food, you know, and our food system is being systematically destroyed. It is being deliberately, in my opinion, deliberately, systematically destroyed. Why do I have this opinion? Because of Agenda 21. Why do I have this opinion? Because of the New World Order. Why do I have this opinion? It's the same reason I have the opinion that the economy is designed to fail. It's deliberate. It's a total breakdown, rebuild in back into the world government, the world order that we want to see it in. And because this happens, you hear about this stuff so often in regards to the GMOs and to the pharmaceutical industry and just the outright attack on our health, on our food. And if this continues if we allow this to continue to be perpetrated, then eventually we're not going to have any healthy food anymore. It won't be possible because the ecosystem will be so contaminated. It will be so infected with and cross-pollinated with GMOs that it's just going to rewrite the entire genetic code of every food crop on the planet. I pray it's not too late, you know, because once you put something out there, it's out there. You can't take it back. You can't get it back out. Hopefully the damage that's been done is just contained. So this is why this is such a vital core issue to me. And I want to express this to my listeners. I want to express this to you folks. And you know, maybe if you're like yawning right now and you don't want to, you're sick of hearing about Monsanto and GMO food, or, you know, maybe you just don't really think it's that big of a concern. Maybe you think I'm blowing it out of proportion. I'm not blowing it out of proportion. Look further down the road, folks. You know, further down the road, this is what it's going to be like. And they know this. And by they, the powers that be, the New World Order, those who are deliberately designing the system this way, or designing, you know, making these plans, they know this is going to happen. Let me start at the logical point. Let's start at the beginning. With these two issues, and when I get done telling you about these two issues, you'll begin to understand how this is a deliberate attack. Now we get Dow Chemical Corporation petitioning the USDA for approval of their brand new genetically modified crop, and this one is designed, and get this, it's engineered to resist the herbicide 2,4-D. Now, some of you folks who are my age or older, you might remember that 2,4-D was the primary ingredient in an exquisite little cocktail known as Agent Orange, which was a powerful exfoliant which they sprayed over the jungles of Vietnam, and their plan was they were going to defoliate the jungle in order to expose the enemy. And the soldiers who got exposed to this Agent Orange when it was sprayed over Vietnam ended up with horrific maladies and diseases like Parkinson's disease, neurological disorders, cancer, birth defects, all just horrible, horrible, horrible effects from this herbicide, right? And they want to spray it on our food. They want us to eat something that they call food. They want us to eat corn that, most of it's turned into ethanol, you know. Almost half of it, I guess, now is turned into ethanol. They put in our gasoline. But, yeah, so we're going to be eating something that is not food, and it's going to be sprayed with an incredibly toxic chemical that is going to cause really bad, I want to say side effects. I mean, they're not even side effects. You can't call this a side, you can't call non-Hodgkin's lymphoma a side effect, you know, or maybe they will. We've gotten so desensitized to all the side effects, the long laundry list that we hear on the pharmaceutical commercials. You know, it used to be funny, you know, when they first started advertising. You know, pharmaceutical companies were not always allowed to advertise on television to the end consumer. And apparently that code had been lifted some point, I don't know, I guess it was back in the 90s. You know, and all of a sudden, you know, the pharmaceutical companies are not advertising to medical professionals, or not solely advertising to medical professionals. They were allowed to advertise to the end consumer, so that Johnny and Jane Q. Public be sitting at home watching television, and they can just, you know, it didn't make sense when I first started seeing pharmaceutical companies advertising on TV. I was like, well, this is kind of like a fishing expedition, isn't it? I mean, you know, how many of the people that you think, you know, your drug is good for might be watching? It seemed very specific to me. It's like, how could you take something, a product that is very specific for a very specific person, for a very specific disorder, and what's the point of broadcasting that so broadly over a media like television and advertising it in a media, you know, such as TV, where you have a very broad audience? It'd be like, you know, needle in a haystack, I thought. You know, but you know, this is the pernicious thing. This is the reason why they do it. The reason why pharmaceutical companies advertise on television is because of suggestibility. Okay, there have already been studies proven done that proves that when you're watching television, the frequency and that the image you know, flickers out, whatever. I don't know the technical terms, but you know, the frequencies put your mind in a highly suggestive state. It puts you down into an alpha state, which is between 7 and 14 brainwave cycles per second. And, you know, that's where you go when you meditate. And when you're, you know, at the lower levels of alpha, you're, you know, in that twilight realm between sleep and consciousness and all that stuff. But anyway, I'm not going to give you a lesson on brainwave function or brainwave activity. The reason why pharmaceutical companies advertise on television is so that you'll see the commercial and you'll go, huh, I think I might have that, or huh, I think I might need that drug. And then you'll go to your doctor and you'll petition your doctor, say, doctor, I think I've got this, and I saw an ad for a drug on the television last night, and I think it'd be perfect, will you give me a prescription for it? And then the doctors, and again, I don't want to say across the board, I don't even know if it's by and large anymore, but you know, doctors are heavily courted by pharmaceutical industries. They're given lots of perks. They put doctors on their payroll, and all they have to do is maybe speak at one symposium, promoting, you know, and talking about how great their drug is. But I'm not even going to go down that rabbit hole right now either. We had to bring this round back to where we were about the genetically modified and the Agent Orange. They control the food supply so that we're eating food that makes us sick, and so the pharmaceutical industry can swoop in and make us a little better. I can't say the pharmaceutical industry makes us well. They don't, because everything that we get makes us sicker or has another side effect and whatnot. But, you know, getting back to the side effect issue, this is what they want to do. They want to put Agent Orange on our food. They want us to eat a modified organism that is designed to resist this pesticide. And then the other thing that came across my field of vision regarding food, and it was like later the same day, was about BT toxins. Now, these are the kind of toxins that they use on these genetically modified crops. These BT toxins, which the chemical companies claim is like they're absolutely safe for human ingestion because the stomach acids destroy this little piece of genetic code, really. And this is what BT toxins are all about. They did a study. They found out that not only was this a lie that your stomach acid does not destroy the BT toxin, and they also said that, well, even if your stomach acid doesn't destroy it, it's harmless anyway. Well, they did a study of pregnant women, and they found that 93% of the women that they tested had BT toxin in their blood. You know what that means? It means it wasn't destroyed in their stomach acid, and it got into their bloodstream. And as far as they can tell from their studies, it's in the bloodstream, and it's not even you know, even to call it a toxin is a misnomer, because what it is, it's a little piece of genetic code. It's a little piece of DNA that they took out of a microorganism, out of a bacteria. It's called Bacillus. I'm not even going to try to pronounce the full name of it, but suffice to say, it's a bacteria. They took this gene out of a bacteria, and they put it into corn. What that does is that makes the plant actually produce its own toxin, its own pesticide, so that when the bugs come and try to eat it, it'll die. Specifically, it splits it open. It splits its stomach open, its belly open. And so you don't need to spray anything on this, but you don't want to be eating it either. This is corn that basically produces its own poison. Yeah, fine. It's great. Go ahead, eat it. Eat 5-6 years of it. Make yourself silly. It's harmless, right? It gets destroyed in your stomach, and it'll never get in your bloodstream. And the problem with the BT, this little piece of code, that once it gets into your system, into your bloodstream, right, it just keeps producing the toxin. That's what it does. It's not really that you're so much that you're eating the poison, that you're eating the toxin, is that you're eating that little piece of DNA that makes the toxin, and you'll never get rid of it. Furthermore, with these pregnant women that they tested, they found that the babies, the fetuses that they were carrying, also had BT toxin in its bloodstream. I'll give you a second for that to sink in. Okay. We're eating food, what they call food, that is never, that's got a toxin producing element to it that is going to get inside of our bloodstream. If it's not already in your bloodstream, and it, this is another thing that it does is it suppresses the immune response. They sprayed natural BT over Vancouver and Washington State to fight gypsy moths, and about 5,000 people reported reactions to it, and most of them were allergy or flu-like symptoms, and 6 people had to go to the emergency room. Now, the BT toxins produced in these genetically modified plants is about 3,000 to 5,000 times more concentrated than what they sprayed over Vancouver and Washington State. 3,000 to 5,000 times more concentrated. Oh, and also, it doesn't wash off, you know. And I might as well make this point now, too. It's like, none of these pesticides wash off. You know, when you're always taught, like, you know, when you're handling your vegetables, you know, you wash them first before you start preparing your meal, before you eat, you know, you always wash it first. Well, you know, washing, if your food has been sprayed with any of these kinds of herbicides or pesticides, you can wash it until the end of time. You can wash it until it rots. You will not get that chemical off your food. They're formulated to not be water soluble, because when they spray them on the plant, they want it to stay on the plant. This stuff is not designed to wash off with water. So, you know, forget about it. If you're not eating organic vegetables, then you're eating chemicals. You're eating toxins. It's also showing up in our waterways, streams and ditches and drains near cornfields that get contaminated with the material, the husks and the stalks and everything. You know, that's falling into the waterways, and that's getting contaminated. It must be water soluble to some degree or to a certain degree, but it's getting in the waterways, and it's also getting into the soil. It's getting into the groundwater. But, you know, the soil thing, you know, when they harvest corn, the farmer leaves the stalks and the leaves and everything else, whatever is not used, they leave it there so that it will prevent soil erosion. And you know, it's like the natural cycle. It'll nourish the soil and all that stuff. Well, it's nourishing the soil, and it's also putting BT toxins in the soil. So eventually, the soil will no longer be able to support any kind of life at all. excuse me, I'm starting to need to get a little drink here. You know, it's just going to poison. It's going to poison the ground. You know, and this is why this is a survival issue, because eventually it's going to get to the point where we're not going to be able to grow crops anymore. Where crops we grow are going to be genetically modified just from cross pollination and contamination. And this stuff has got to stop. You know, if you still believe that you have a voice left in America, if you really believe that, you know, you can do something to make a difference, you know, if you don't want your kids eating poison food or food that creates poison, that manufactures its own poison, there's a petition going around, and I'm going to ask you all to sign it. I'm going to put a post up. There's a post up on my website at survivalandbeyond.net, and we have until the 27th to get as many signatures as possible to put an end to this BT nightmare and put an end to the Agent Orange, specifically the Agent Orange genetically modified crop by Dow. But so I encourage you all to go to survivalandbeyond.net and just click the link there and sign the petition. It's an electronic petition. You don't have to give them any personal information. Just a couple of clicks and your voice is added to the choir. Your voice is added to those of us who are not going to be poisoned by Agenda 21 and not be poisoned by the not be a victim, fall victim to the population reduction plans that they're putting in motion. Everything that you go into a supermarket and if you're eating something that's processed, you can pretty much be guaranteed that you're eating genetically modified organisms. Here's some quick tips about shopping non-GMO. Fresh vegetables are not genetically modified. In fact, there are only I believe 8 known genetically modified crops. Now, this was news to me, you know, talking about always learning things. You know, I always assumed that, well, I knew that not everything was genetically modified, but I thought, like, you know, most of it was. But there's only actually 8 crops that are genetically modified, and those are corn, soybeans. Those are the two big ones. Soybean crops. If you're eating soy in America, you're eating genetically modified, pretty much, unless you got it from a natural food store and it was labeled as such, you know, organic. But corn and soy, the two big ones, canola, cottonseed, sugar beets, Hawaiian papaya, most Hawaiian papaya, and a small amount of zucchini and yellow squash. And also there's genetically modified alfalfa, which is fed to livestock. Sugar is, unless it says it's pure cane sugar, then it's genetically modified with sugar beets. It's not pure sugar. It's sugar beets. And dairy products, you'll be ingesting growth hormones from milk. If you drink milk that's not certified as organic, and I do mean organic. I don't mean all natural. All natural is a ploy that they use to try to trick people into thinking that it's organic. Organic and all natural are not the same thing. Make sure you make the distinction. It's USDA certified organic when you're shopping, and stay away from any and all processed foods. If it comes out of a box, if it comes out of a freezer, if it's something, you know, one of those 3-minute meals, Hot Pockets, whatever, if it's processed, then it's genetically modified. And I'm going to have to take a quick break right now, and we're going to, you know, pay the bills and everything. And we'll be right back in about 3 minutes, and I'll just hang tight, and I'll catch you on the other side.
Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files and listen on your phone or personal computer. And when you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening. Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created WebSeed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery, and our Survival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com. Hi, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. In uncertain times, you need gear you can count on. That's why I teamed up with Daniel Vitalis to launch SupplySource.com. It's a new online retailer offering extremely durable gear for emergency preparedness and long-term survival. Everything we offer survives my daily use test on a ranch in Texas, plus Daniel's outdoor endurance test in the rugged wilderness of Maine. Most of the stuff we test ends up in a pile of trash, because it breaks. The stuff that doesn't break we stock it on SupplySource.com. To get the site started, we've launched it with a line of rugged, reliable, waterproof LED flashlights, now chosen by military and law enforcement everywhere. And we'll soon be adding a whole new brand of emergency water filters, family defense gear, and urban survival tools. When you want your gear to really work, get it from SupplySource.com.
And we're back. You're listening to Survival and Beyond with Ed Corcoran. And I am, oddly enough, Ed Corcoran. Yeah, I am, oddly enough. But thanks for listening. We're tuning in here on the Natural News Radio Network at naturalnews.com. And also the radio site is naturalnewsradio.com. And anyway, I'd like to make an announcement. A very nice lady contacted me on Facebook, and she's selling her home. And this is a prepper homestead that she's selling, and boy, you know, I've seen the pictures of it, and it's gorgeous. It's just like a survivalist or a prepper's dream house. I mean, this house is a homestead. It's completely a self-reliance situation where there's a garden, there's animals, they're completely off the grid. When you move in, it'll be fully loaded. It'll be like, this will be your prepping. You buy the house, you move in, you're done prepping. And this is how loaded this house is. Really, I'm seriously, you got to check it out. And she asked me if I would put a post on the Survival and Beyond Facebook page. And I will do that. I'll put a link on the, by the time you hear this, it will be up there on my Facebook page at facebook.com/survivalandbeyond. And there's my Facebook page. And hey, why don't you throw me a like while you're on there too? A little shameless fishing expedition never hurt anybody, I guess. So anyway, yeah, that's cool. You know, Facebook is a funny thing. I really have a love-hate relationship with Facebook. And it's more hate than love. I mean, really, it's a good source of information, and I will admit I've gotten hip to a lot of news items through the Facebook feed, and a lot of, I would say, leads for research. I don't take my information from my Facebook feed and come and, you know, start spouting it as gospel. They're leads. They're doorways to the avenues of information, and I go out, and that'll be oftentimes inspiration for my research. Sometimes when I'm kind of stuck and I'm not really finding anything new to talk about or to write about, and I'll go to my Facebook page and get some leads there, and it'll take me down some interesting paths, and I've discovered a lot of things that I didn't formally know about that way. But on the other hand, there's all the obvious, you know, downfalls of it. I saw an article earlier this week. I don't remember what site it was. I always like to give references. Well, whatever. It was the Boston Phoenix. That's right. Yeah, I'm surprised that escapes me because I grew up not too far from Boston. The Boston Phoenix, and it was an article about the subpoenas. When Facebook is subpoenaed by law enforcement or by, you know, the Department of Homeland Security, they had this, they showed what the document looks like that Facebook provides, and it has all of your information from the dawn of, you know, from the time you first set foot on Facebook until now. And not only that, it also shows all of your friends on Facebook and their information. You know, they don't redact any of that stuff, and they shouldn't be sharing that information. I mean, on one hand, there's the philosophy that, like, yeah, you know what you're getting into when you go on Facebook. It's a data mine. It's still, they shouldn't be sharing any information about any third parties, about anybody else that's, you know, connected to them. Of course, law enforcement agencies want this, and of course the Gestapo, the, you know, Department of Homeland Security wants this because they want to start investigating all those people too, you know, and it's like McCarthyism all over again, except instead of communism, it's terrorism. And this is got to stop. This is absolutely got to stop. If you believe in liberty, if you believe that you are an inalienable person, that you're a personage that is beyond the sum of your parts, to put it in the only other way I can, the only way I can think of putting it right now, this is gonna, you know, stray into the realm of spirituality or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, though we live in an illusion, although we live in a matrix, as it were, it's what's real about it are the people, you and I and everybody else. That's what's real about this world. That's the only thing that's real about this world. And you don't have a soul. You are a soul. You are energy. You cannot be contained. You cannot be a slave. But we've been tricked into believing that we can be, because we've been pushed into a material mindset, so to speak, indoctrinated since the day that we were born into this illusion, and to take it as real. And it's not. And a lot of this started back with the Catholic Church. I mean, that's really where I put the starting point. Some could say it goes back even further than that. Without getting too expositional, I'm not going to go into civilizations thousands of years ago. Although I very well could, and I'd like to. But no, we've been indoctrinated, and especially since the 20th century and the establishment of the Federal Reserve, and that's where the whole illusion started, with money. You know, getting us chasing a fiction, getting us chasing something that's worthless. While we're distracted, while we're all marching in the monkey parade, while we're getting in our cars and going to work and coming back home and taking care of business and, you know, and then going to bed and waking up and doing the same thing all over again, we've been distracted. We've been put on this treadmill, running faster and faster and never getting anywhere. And that's all a distraction. That is money is meant to distract you. Money is meant to remove you from the state of being what you actually are. You know, and I don't know how many folks out here who are listening to my voice actually know what and who you are. You know, you are not a crude, you have a body. You are a soul. And all this stuff is an illusion that it's so difficult. It's so difficult to put a handle on and to explain. Every time I try to talk about this stuff, it's like, I'm reminded of what Einstein said. Einstein said that if you can't explain something simply, that means you don't understand it well enough. And I'll never understand what I'm trying to talk about, what I'm trying to convey. But, you know, I'm just trying to share my experience that I've had on my path, and, you know, down the roads that I've been, and the culmination of things that, you know, things are always coming to light. Again, always learning. But once you start to wrap your mind around the fact that this is all a system, it's all a game, it's all meant to keep us preoccupied while, you know, the powers that be are putting the infrastructure in place in order to enslave us. So while they're building our our serfdom, you know, we're too distracted chasing money and being entertained and taking drugs, taking antidepressants or whatever, and buying into this whole amusement park that our culture has become. This is, that's why I'm dedicated to waking people up, making you realize that you are chasing a fiction. And I don't even know why I have to explain it to some people. You know, you would think that, you know, the things that happen in the world, the NDAA gets signed, not a whole lot of fuss, right? The martial law bill, the martial law act, or whatever, the resources, the Defensive Resources Act, where Obama can just basically have just take control of everything, all of our resources, your home, which you don't own, as illustrated previously. All of this, you had a construction company, a government come in, take control of it. Nobody seems to notice. God knows the mainstream media is not reporting about this stuff because it's not what the mainstream media wants you to know. It's not what they want you to hear about. And so you're not going to hear about it unless you go to the alternative sources. And by that, I mean the internet. The internet is, it's a great tool for research. And, like I always say, the stuff that I talk about is not a conspiracy theory. It's out there. It's in black and white. It's ink on paper. It's like I can point to it and say, there it is. There, go read it, on the sites, point you to the UN website, or I'll point you to the bill, or I'll point you to, something that's tangible, something that's verifiable. And, getting back to the woman I was talking to from the TV production company, and she's asking me to kind of explain, or to succinctly sum up something that is impossible to sum up, And it's one of those situations where, if you understand, I don't need to explain it to you. If you get it, I don't need to explain it to you. If you don't get it, then there isn't an explanation that I can give you. Any explanation would be failing. So I'm talking to this woman on the phone and everything, and I'm just throwing all kinds of stuff at her, Federal Reserve and the IRS and all this other, the way the whole machine has been contrived, the whole system has been mapped out, and what a web it is, and then domino effect of if there's an economic crash, which is bound to happen. It's just gonna happen. There's no doubt about that. And she's like, well, does it have anything to do with biblical prophecies? And I'm like, no, none of it has to do with biblical prophecies. And I'm going on and on and on. And I never really got a sense that anything that I was saying was really having an impact. If anything I was telling her was something that concerned her, which rightfully so. I want people to be concerned. I want people concerned. I don't want them to be scared. I don't want them to be frightened. I'm not about fear mongering. I'm not about, getting people to a state where, they can't enjoy their lives because they're just so fearful of everything that's, coming up around them, everything that's looming on the horizon. I don't want to do that. I want to empower people. I want people to get concerned. Yeah. Concerned enough that they go and they check it out themselves, and then they start telling other people about it, because that's the way these things happen. That's the way it's always in the grassroots, man. The media, like Ron Paul, for example, the media completely ignores Ron Paul, and now they're trying to bamboozle everybody that Mitt Romney he's already got it cinched. It's in the bag. He's already the unofficially the official Republican nominee, and Romney is not even showing up for the next few primaries, and then the media is just like, oh, he's already won. He's already won. There's nobody else. Nope. Newt Gingrich. Nope. And no, Newt Gingrich hasn't got enough delegates. So it's gonna be Mitt Romney, because they don't even acknowledge Ron Paul. They don't acknowledge the fact that he's just tearing ass. He's tearing ass, folks, all over the country. He took the Iowa delegates, he took the Wisconsin delegates, and everywhere he goes, thousands of people show up. Everywhere he goes, he jams the house, y'all. They got to turn people away. They got people climbing trees so they can hear Dr. Paul speak, right? And young people too. He's tearing it up, man, and he's getting the delegates. And speaking of Facebook, this is one of the dismaying things about Facebook, is that you've got to deal with idiots. And yeah, I'm going to call them idiots. I'm not going to I don't even remember their names. They didn't register, but I happened to see this this exchange. I wouldn't call it a conversation because it was only two messages, but and they were bemoaning the fact that well, it looks like it's down to Mitt Romney and Barack Obama, Chip. And Chip says, yeah, it's too bad there isn't another alternative, maybe an independent or something, but oh well, you either stick with the devil you know, or you take a chance on Mitt Romney hoping he's going to be better, or whatever, something like that. And I was like, oh my God, this is like a cross-section of the brainwashed masses. this is like, you know, middle America conversation in the living room. You know, it's like they're discussing, they're having this conversation, and I sent a message, I just tacked on, it's like, you might want to check out Ron Paul, and that's all I said, and I sent it. And so I don't know what kind of response, like I said, I don't have a whole lot of time to spend on Facebook, I don't know if they're going to respond to it or not, but it's like, I was like, oh my God, these people just like absolutely, because most of the folks that are my friends and that show up, you know, their posts show up in my news feed. They're all libertarians, or they're all conservatives, or, you know, they're all, well, yeah, they can't all be conservatives, and you know what I mean. They're my kind of folks, patriots, libertarians, you know, Ron Paul supporters, yeehaw, you know, hoorah. And then it's just like so odd to come across this thing in my newsfeed, this conversation talking about, oh, it's all just Obama and Romney now, and, you know, and it's too bad we don't have somebody else. Maybe some independent will show up. I don't know, you know. And it just blows my mind. And so, you know, I was like, okay, well, that's their opinion. But then I came across this other post, which was a picture of Barack Obama, right? Let me set the landscape for you, right? There's three heads in the clouds, like these visionary, you know, demigod, you know, type of a painting, you know, in the clouds, and there's a huge throng of zombies on the ground, on the horizon, and the caption or the message on it said, "Yes, we can again." And now I'll tell you, you look up in the clouds, and there's three portraits there, and Barack Obama's dead in the middle. And to the right of him is Frederick Douglass, and to the left of him is Martin Luther King. And I was like, oh my God, not only is this like just the most ludicrous piece of propaganda that Obama propaganda that I've probably ever seen. Obama comparing himself to Frederick Douglass and Martin Luther King, he doesn't belong to be in the same sentence with those men. Let alone in, you know, portrayed as like, you know, one of these grand visionaries. It just turned my stomach. It turned my stomach just as almost as much as it turned my stomach the first time I started hearing those choirs of children singing Obama's praises when he was running for president. Oh, Frederick Douglass and Martin Luther King, man, they mopped the floor with Barack Obama, okay, intellectually and ethically and morally and intelligently, every single measure, and he has no business being placed in the same category. But anyway, the woman who posted it, and again, I'm like, oh my, you know, I was a little surprised about the first conversation, and then this just really blew my mind. This, I couldn't believe it. I was like, how did this end up in my newsfeed? And the woman typed in her own message about, you know, how we all gotta stick together as Democrats and stand for Obama and all the good work he's done and all this other. And I was like, oh geez, you know, it's like I always heard there were people like this, but I never actually thought I'd encounter one. You know, that it. You know, thinking about Mitt Romney, voting for Mitt Romney, it just seems, you know, delusional. You know, being so energetic and in support of Obama, just, it's idiotic. It's idiotic, and it's like completely psychotically delusional. I just couldn't get it, you know. And this time I was like, nope, sorry, you're too stupid to be my friend, and just, I'm sorry, that sounds kind of cruel. I debated over it for a little bit. I was like, oh, should I block her from my newsfeed? Because this is nauseating. I don't want to see any more of this. And I was like, you know what? If she's really that brainwashed, if she's really that much of a sheep, if she's really that much asleep, that she can't, you know, she could be so, incredibly, amazingly behind Barack Obama like this. And I'm like, no, forget it. You're off my friend list. Didn't know who she was anyway. I don't think I ever exchanged a message with her. I like my friends. I like my friends on Facebook. I like, for you know, the vast majority of them, these were just two examples. And most of the time, I get a lot of good stuff from the folks on Facebook. But anyway, taking a look at the clock here, and it looks like yes, we are just about out of time. And so I hope you've enjoyed this installment of Survival and Beyond here on the Natural News Radio Network. And we'll be back next week. You know, I'm thinking about maybe making this show longer because a one-hour show, I never get to bring up enough stuff. It doesn't seem like an hour is ever enough time for me to talk about everything I want to talk about and get all the news out that I want to get out. And, yeah, the show is a little light on survivalism. Sorry, folks, but, yeah, this is our survival. Our food supply is our survival. It's the survival of the human race. We got to stop this depopulation plan. I can't even, the words fail in expressing my disgust and my concern over this. This is a really big concern of mine. When I feel like, I walk into a supermarket where to anybody else in the rest of the world would see a supermarket, an American supermarket, as a bastion, a paradise of food. You know, lots of parts of the world, they don't have what we have. We should consider ourselves fortunate that we have, and we consider ourselves blessed that we are able to go to a supermarket and have all of our food needs, within convenient reach. But when I walk into a supermarket these days, it doesn't, most of the stuff, 98% of the stuff in there doesn't even look like food to me. Like I said, just the outside of the store, the fresh vegetables, organic milk, I do not buy any of the stuff on the aisles. Now, maybe, with the exception of crackers, I like Wheat Thins, but, all that stuff it just looks like poison to me. And that's really what it is. And that's what we're heading towards. And it is just be vigilant and please sign that petition and tell your friends if not anything else, just go and do the research yourself, man, and post it and share it and do what you got to do with it to wake people up to it. This is Ed Corcoran. I got to sign out. I think I'm running late. And it was good talking to you. I'm glad you tuned in. And until next week, just keep your head up and keep on living free.